Good. Welcome to another episode of Up on Foil, the podcast where we talk all about foiling. And I'm Matt, living in Switzerland.
I'm Gael. I'm not living in my car, I swear.
We have a special guest today. It's Rob von Roll. He's from a family of pump foilers. He's on Instagram and he makes foiling look so effortless, which sometimes I'm a bit envious. He has a signature board. He's an ambassador of Indiana, and he wrote his an essay at school, like high school kind of, the Maturarbeit, 51 pages all about pump foiling. Welcome, Rob, to the show. Did I forget anything?
No. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's an honor to be here. It's, yeah, cool podcast.
I want to know if you had a session before the podcast.
Yes. Yeah, my hair's still wet. We were on the water.
How was it? Isn't it too cold?
But there? A short one. Maybe, and the sun is actually coming out. Maybe it's going to be a second session afterwards.
Cool. So yeah, talk about this essay.
Yeah, I just finished it a few weeks ago. Yeah, it's all about pump foiling. Yeah. Here I have the printed version. Yeah, it was for school project, but yeah, I really enjoyed writing about it. People like you and Ludo on YouTube, where I had some good stuff over that I could write about. Yeah,
cool. Thank you.
I read it, and my first question about that is actually, was it easy to find a teacher who supported you? Because there's always a teacher involved where you can ask the questions. Was that easy to find someone?
Yeah, it was pretty easy. I have my sports teacher who supported me. And yeah, for me, it was clear because pump foiling is a sport. And one of the main things I did was
Like a test on yourself.
Yeah, I did. I had like a training that I did and did test runs where I looked how far I can go. And for me, it was clear it's going to be my sports teacher.
Did he try it himself?
No, he always said, yeah, he's going to come watch and he will try it one day. But yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, this essay, there's a technique, there's gear and your best setup and then your training. And let's talk technique at the beginning. You said that one source is Ludo, one source is Gael as well. How did you approach that? Did you watch their videos and took your findings out of what they said, or how did that work?
Yeah, in the beginning I thought I was looking for websites with good information, but there's just none. So I asked my teacher if YouTube is okay. So I did it with YouTube. And yeah, there are many, yeah, like you and Ludo. There's also more like Gwen and all the guys. They have good techniques and they explain it good. Yeah, so I chose, I watched the YouTube videos. Yeah, and made some, yeah, wrote it down, the technique. And also I also did interviews with Jérôme Badou and Nicolas Eaton. They're the two best guys I know in long distance pumping, and ask them for their technique. Yeah, so I had a good comparison of different techniques.
And then you wrote it down. You saw similar techniques, probably.
Yeah,
similar
yeah.
things.
Yeah, it's still very different from people to people, but in the end, there's always the stuff like you need to be precise. Like you talk about it, Ludo talked about it, Nicolas Eaton talked about it. You need to know when to push the board. So what Ludo said, I think, was one of the best explanations, because if you have the foil still angled up too much and you try to push it down, a big mass of water you push. But if you have it, but if you go smooth, there's not much water you push. So it's way, way more efficient.
And for people who start pump foiling or at the start of their pump foiling journey, that precision, that can't be like, I read how to do it and now do it. That's experience. You have to find that exact point where you can actually apply pressure.
Yeah. As also Gaia said in this video, you just need to train. Because really, yeah, you need to know exactly how the foil responds, and you can't just think, I need to do this movement and then it will work perfectly. You have to feel it
exactly
all the time.
As also Gwen said last time in one of the episodes, he said that a lot of people, like, we always try to make it click by watching videos, but it's not how it works. To make it click, we have to just put in the time, put in the work, and it's gonna come with time. Because yeah, you can watch the videos, you can understand, you can, even if you have like the best connection between mind and muscles, and you have the feeling of the water, still is something different from anything else. So you still have to do it to really understand it and to become precise. So no shortcuts.
Yeah, for people that don't pump foil, they just see the movement. They see, it's a kind of pumping movement, but they don't know what the foil is doing during that movement.
You said that everyone has his or her own technique or maybe a little thing that is different. What is your technique? How do you describe yours compared to the others?
Yeah, one of the bigger differences, yeah, it's pretty similar. Yeah, I have a bit of a narrower stance. But yeah, with my signature board I have, I can stand a bit off stance. This, yeah, my theory behind it is that if I swing my arms, the pressure gets applied more directly into the board. But that's only a theory I made after having this technique. Like, I already did it before and it felt comfortable.
So you mean when you swing your arms, the arms are going front and back and not sideways?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So so I always take the arms with me to get the speed. And this way it gets applied directly on the front foot.
That makes a lot of sense.
And also a big difference, what I realized when writing about it, I have like two different, like my pump side, the way how I pump is split into two different ways. Like I always do one little pump with a bit less force where I get my arms up. This is when I get a bit, where I go a bit more where I get a bit higher. Then the next pump, I go down and get the arms with me, and I go more for the speed. Like I do one pump, zack, go up, get a bit more height, and the next pump I also breathe out to be a bit stronger. Like I breathe in one pump, the next pump I breathe out. First pump where I breathe in, I take the arms up, get a bit more height. Second pump, take the arms down and go a bit more for the speed.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit complex.
That makes a lot of sense. On this note, I want to mention that your technique, like the reason why probably Matt says that you look so light and you make it look so effortless is because, I don't know how you do it. Like I still have to get to that point. I'm going to be super honest. But, you know, when I get on the board, I try to smash on my back foot and to give like quick flat pumps to gain speed. If the foil is kind of small, but you don't. Like I noticed that you get on the board and then you, as you said, you make like these, I don't know how to explain it. You probably explain it better than I'm doing now. But yeah, instead of giving these quick pumps, you're sort of like hopping higher, something like that. And then you are, yeah, explain that, because I wanna know your secret on how to gain speed so easy, because it seems like, tell us, what's the smallest foil that you can static start? So dead start.
Without running. I don't know. I don't really try that because, yeah, as you can see in the doc review Matt just made, we have a pretty long doc. And for smaller foils, the hard part is to get the speed to start it. So I can dock start like, it's like 550 square centimeter foil. But I just need to run pretty far. And once you get the speed, it's easier to pump, yeah. And you can, yeah, it's still a bit hard because it wobbles a bit. But standing start, I don't know, can probably, yeah. Not the very smallest, the 550, no chance.
But you did a little video on Instagram where you tried to go as small as possible. Was there a limit for you? I don't remember.
No.
That's crazy. Plus, well, first of all, thank you for mentioning the doc review of Solothurn. It's going to be linked up here. And before, when you did your freestyle moves, sometimes it looked like you almost stood still, but then you managed to get back up and get back moving. And I'm not sure if that's what you do, but then you moved the feet very far away from each other and then moved them closer afterwards. Was that just once, or is that usually what you do once you're finished or once you're pretty slow to get back on speed?
Yeah. Like for getting speed, I often stand a bit wider apart. For going as efficient as possible, I stay very thin. But for going fast, I get the feet a bit, mostly the back foot, I put it further back. Then after the turn, I don't know, I don't really think about it, but after the turn, you just need to get speed. There you, yeah, after the turn, you really have to feel how much height you still have that you can transfer into speed. And then just feel how much you can push it further without touching the water too much.
That is so cool. Plus, it really looks so effortless. You talked to Nicolas Eaton and Jérôme. Did you meet them or did you do that by phone?
No, I met them. I did it during an ambassador day at the headquarters. You were already there. Did the dog review, right?
Yes, Omerien also going to be up here.
Yeah, I met them in person, fun guys. Yeah, with Jérôme, I already went to Pumpfoil near Paris.
Wow.
That was pretty cool, yeah. It was a little event in a little lake, yeah. Yeah, they're fun guys and yeah, really, cool guys. Yeah, and then I did the interview face-to-face.
Did you, when you made that interview with Nicolas, because he had the world record of long-distance pumping, did you look how he does it or did you just ask him questions? How did you get that information that helped you reaching your best time?
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't really go all of that deep. It was more some basic stuff I asked him. Yeah, I could have made the interview going a lot deeper, but yeah. I couldn't take that much out for me. It was more important stuff, just like for the basics of my work.
So that Dominik Vögele understands.
Yeah, it's a bit hard. Yeah, I try to make it so people who don't pump foil still understand it.
It's a very good written work, really.
Is it in English or in German?
To get
German?
Back to your question, Gael, about the pumping, you asked how like smaller foils are usually you need to do bigger pumps. With the biggest front wing, with the Condor from Indiana, I do very, very small pumps. But with the bigger foil, also when you watch, I don't know, those surf foil videos where they pump back out to the wave, they do just those huge movements. Like to get speed, you do really, really big movements.
Gael, your question, if it was in English or in German, it's in German.
Yeah.
Ah, damn.
But maybe afterwards you can translate it. And is there a way for people to read it as well?
It's still a bit difficult because the grade isn't given yet because I still need to present it in the school. So it's a bit difficult to share it because I don't know. I'm a bit scared that then somebody says, "Ah, look, there's a guy on the there's a work on the internet that's like looking exactly the same." I don't want some stuff like this.
Yeah,
happening.
Makes sense.
But maybe I will share it
afterwards once you're done next summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Of course. So let's stay tuned for that. For me, these techniques are really very interesting, and when I look at you, you're super effortless, super light. How much do you weigh? Because I always think like, well, I'm a bigger guy, I'm heavier, so of course it's more difficult for you. Did that change in the last maybe 2 years that you pumped, that you got bigger and it got more difficult, or did you grow with it?
For me, weight's always, it's always the guy saying, "Ah, look, I'm 57 kilos, yeah, I'm light." But I also have smaller brothers that are, he's like 35, 37 kilos. But I see mostly just disadvantages with being light, especially for like going for speed. My little brother just has a very hard time going for speed. because the mass is just way easier to really get the speed.
Yeah, that's what we were discussing also with Gwen again last time. Maybe you have some like a little edge when it comes to freestyling because perhaps you can glide for a longer period of time, but you probably cannot go so close to the stall speed because you don't have, as you said, a lot of mass to put in front when it comes to generate back that speed that you lost during the turn or the trick, whatever. So, yeah. Maybe, yeah, and then even, like, for long distances, you need maybe, like, to be a bigger, like, not a huge guy, but... So probably the only edge that you have is in freestyling.
How big, how tall is Nicola?
Matteo.
No, Nicola Eaton.
He's not that big. He's a little bit bigger than me. He's like 175, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think I asked him in the interview that I did a long time ago. And I think he mentioned here. He was probably less than 170, something like that.
Still a small guy, huh?
Yeah, I think a bit more than 170. I think he was bigger, I don't know, same as me. But yeah, I see weight really as a disadvantage, especially because all the pump foil gear is made for people that weight, like 70 kilos, 60 kilos, 50 kilos. Like the mast, imagine how small you can go with a mast for a guy who's only less than 40 kilo. The mast could be way thinner, the stab way small, the fuselage way shorter. So small guys really have a bit of a problem with the material. Because for us guys, now there are the Condor XL and other big foils. With those you still have much glide.
All right. Let's go to the last question about your essay, and that's the situation. You made four tests, right? In your essay, and how much did you improve?
The improvement wasn't growing. In the beginning, I did like half an hour, 26 minutes, with still a bigger stab, but already with a good foil. Second one, I did 1 hour, I think. Yes, I did 1 hour with the new stab, with the Condor XL stab. Yeah, it was big change. They also, I had a bit more the idea how to do it.
What changed? What did you learn after the first try?
Yeah, I really need to look for my heart rate, because in the first I didn't really look out. In the second, I always had my watch on, so I could always check, my pulse is starting to go up. I really need to focus so my pulse isn't skyrocketing. Third one, I did only half an hour. I tried a new prototype stab from Sharon Badu. I 3D printed it. It was kind of stiff, but... I didn't sand it off that smooth, so I think it was partially because of that, and I had some seaweed, some wind coming up.
Yeah, that's not easy.
Fourth and last was my record. It was like 1 hour, 5 minutes, like 1 minute more than the second one, but it's a new record. I had some better material. I had the new bunny board from Indiana. The magic, very light, new mast. Yeah, but I still somehow had a hard time. I don't know if it was because I wasn't off that fit or something like that. Yeah.
So many variables, right?
Yeah.
You should have gone with the same or just changing one aspect of the whole system and could do 4 or 5 tests. And then, as you said, the seaweed, obviously, the wind, the weather, how you feel can be already a thing, and then you changed other materials as well. For your master's thesis then, in a couple of years at uni, you're going to probably need more tests, right?
Yeah, but overall, my conclusion was that the most effect on my pumping had the material. because yeah, I already pump since 3 years, so my technique is already at a pretty good level. My training, yeah, my physique is already kind of good because I pump pretty regularly, even without the training going on. So for me, the conclusion was the material, because I really changed the, it was just the stab. I didn't change the front wing. The front wing is the part that makes the most, the biggest difference. But even the stab made pretty big difference, I think.
So what was like the setup with which you felt more comfortable, and you also did the longest distance?
I did the longest run, with the magic board. It's like just 1.6 kilos, so pretty light. It's not. There will be a shorter version. It was like the one I have is 95 centimeters. It's a bigger one. But that was, I think, was a big difference. I didn't feel that comfortable as on my signature board, but I think the weight made a bit of a difference. Then the mast, I had the new Lightning mast prototype. That's very thin, it's like only 40 millimeters thickness. It's faster, it's very light. It's one of the lightest masts on the market. But it was only a prototype, and it wasn't quite stiff enough. It broke a while after that try, because the Condor is just such a big front wing. The mast wasn't all of that stiff enough, but it was still a prototype. So the actual mast is going to be a lot stiffer. And front wing, Condor XL, stab, Condor XS.
Cool. And now that we're talking about gear, what's your favorite foil that you usually ride? Because looks like I remember that once you told me it's best at the beginning if you stick to one set, and then after you progress and you're very good with that set, you can try and test different foils so that you become versatile. But if you really would have to choose one set, what that would be besides your, of course, your signature board?
Yeah, as I said, in the beginning, it's better to stick to one foil because you just get a lot better with one foil. I know we got a lot of new material, so I switched a lot from material, went winging, did downwinding, always switched foil. But now when I'm back to flat water pumping a lot, I take the new Barracuda L. That's a sick new front wing. It has 1050 square. So it's a bit faster, but still got a lot of lift, and it just carves effortlessly. It's insane. And now when I start to pump only that, I have the same setup now for 2 or 3 weeks. There are many sessions, and now I finally start to really realize how, you start to know how the foil pumps.
Maybe we can switch to your board, your signature board, and you have a little 3D print model as well here. Maybe you can use that to share. We all know your signature board, the Fondrol, as it's called. Yes. I heard people calling it penis shaped.
Yes.
Why that?
Because always when you have success, there will be haters. it's a bit ugly shape. Some people will call it ugly, but I really like it because what is marked blue here is my stance. It's 10% the scale from the actual one. This 9.4 centimeters. The actual is 94 centimeters. But you can see my stance, because I really need that space there to stay off stance. So you can really, you have way more agility with such a stance.
You can push it back down, right?
Yeah, after the turns.
I also remember there's a pretty deep deck, and there's a pretty like concave deck, right?
Yeah, the concave. I have here, back here, I have a big concave, mm-hmm. and in the front I have a little concave. And that's really helping to get even more force.
How before, and you have a new one planned, right? A second version, we're going to come to that. How did that happen that you were able to make your own board?
I I was always thinking about how could I get better calves. And yeah, I was thinking about, did some little tests, what would be better, like with the concave and the shape. I really thought about it. And I talked about it with a few other foilers, and they're like, oh, come on, go ahead, make a shape, and then ask Indiana. And yeah, I'm very friendly with Indiana. Mauro's was already on the podcast with you.
Link up here.
Yeah, very friendly guy. And Andy Wiedmann, the shaper. Yeah, and they said, okay, let's do it. They were up for it. Yeah, we had a crazy good collab, and outcome was crazy. It's like my favorite board. I only pump this board at the moment. It's absolutely favorite.
But tell us what's gonna be in the new one.
Yeah. For the new one, I have also a miniature version right here.
Heard it here first. What's special about it?
Still top secret, so no. It's, yeah, hopefully we'll get it by January or something like that. But I did, I left the weird shape of going in again, so it's pretty parallel. So you still have space for your front foot and your back foot, so they're a bit more equal. And yeah, still left the concave. And what's very interesting is that I have a little bump right here between the front and the back foot. It's a bit hard to see on the video, but this way you have with your back foot the concave that normally just goes straight in, now goes a little bit round. So your back foot that's pointed a bit forward still feels the concave. Yeah, it's a bit hard to explain. Maybe you'll understand it.
Well, I think for people watching, we can easily see these little models. Maybe we can add here a little photo or video of it. But it looks like something. I've never seen that before. So that must be interesting. And for sure, if you do freestyle things, that's really cool.
Yeah, it should work. I don't have the prototype yet. So we'll still see.
And you design these boards yourself?
Yes. I have the designer software where you can do the I can do the shape online. Then I can send it to the shaper. I can send it to Andy Wiedmann. He has some stuff he has to add, sends it back. I look over it again and on, yeah.
That is really cool. How come you partnered with Indiana? How did that happen? What did he use before? Did you start with Indiana boards?
I started with one of the very first Nash foils. I don't know how's it called, but one of the first foils on the market. But I was only like 10 years old, 12. Didn't really work that well. We had a big soup, a very big board, SUP. I didn't really like it. Then a few years later, an uncle of mine bought the Indiana beginner board, the 1100P. Yeah, and with this one, everybody was like, wow, good foil. And then, all my friends and family went on to try that. Afterwards, I foiled a while with Axis, the 1150 something, but soon switched to Indiana after going to an Ambassador Day, Showroom Day, something like that. Yeah, there I met with Mauros. He was a fan of me. I was a big fan of Indiana, the brand, the foils. The community, good people, really liked it. And since then I ride with them.
You talked about your first foil, but I want to know, so were you the first in the family who got into foiling, and then your brothers and whatnot joined, or it was more like a family thing and you started together?
We're going to go, Kyle, with that question, we're going to go into the family thing and maybe the rivalry just after the break. I'm just going to have one more question about the foil that you used. Do you still have that Nash setup? And if yes, now, with that all that experience, are you able to foil it?
I didn't try this foil, but I have a friend of mine who makes foil himself. And that was like, he did the first prototype like 10, 15 years ago. It was still with skis or snowboards. Wow. That's crazy, yeah. And he did it behind towing, getting towed, he did it. But pumping, we tried it, and it's like, yeah, you stay on it, you try to push it, and just nothing happens, yeah. But it's fun, yeah. It was, yeah, very soon. He did, like, first few foils, yeah. I don't know the exact date, but before the first foil was available.
That is really cool. All right, we're going to have a quick break and a little word of our sponsor. No, there's nothing yet. If you're interested in sponsoring us, in sponsoring that podcast, please hit us up, write to Gael, write to me on our Instagram or YouTube, wherever you find our information. All right. Now, after that break, Gael, go ahead with your question. We got to talk about the family of foilers.
The sponsor is also because so we can have a better environment and we're not recording in the car. No, yeah, I wanted to ask about the family, because such a cool thing that every time I see you or like other people who are getting on foil with the father, with the brother, so cool, because you know, probably your Matt too was a lonely journey. So whenever I see someone like pumping with friends or family members, I'm a bit jealous, but then I see it like a very, very cool thing. So yeah, I want to know a bit how the story developed within the family.
Started about 3 years ago. Yeah, uncle of mine started. Yeah, we're big family. Yeah, I had other uncles starting to try it. Yeah, pretty much my whole family. Yeah, my dad. Yeah, really wanted to try it. Me too went on. Then we really had a journey together of, yeah, whoa, maybe we can pump like a round of 20 meters. And it was a challenge, who can do it first? And yeah, but we had no plan. It was just, yeah. But yeah, because we were a few guys, we were like, yeah, we started to develop some techniques, how to get on. And because I never watched a YouTube video, only like after 1 or 1.5 years, I started to watch some Insta videos or YouTube videos and realized, whoa, it's getting big in Switzerland. But yeah, my whole family got into it. Now we're seven, it's a family of seven, five of them pump. Yeah, so with many guys. Yeah, we had a session before, sister joined. Yeah, little brother Matteo, good foiler. So yeah, freestyle, pretty good. Always takes the second place behind me on the competitions.
Exactly. Who's the best one?
Yeah, Matteo can do crazy freestyle tricks I could never do. Matteo, yeah, some freestyle tricks he can't do, but he can do some of mine tricks. And he's still staying with dog starting. Yeah, and Sabless, he's going the waves a little bit, but he doesn't wing or downwind, but he will start, I'm sure.
Is that an issue with the rivalry between brother and sister, that someone is better and the other one says, well, I don't want to compete against you, or I want to maybe look at that as a challenge to get better?
Yeah, at the moment it's just me who's giving, yeah, I can look at them and give them tips for their technique, and yeah. Yeah, but I'm not a pro, so they all got their own techniques, they pump good. Yeah, but so yeah, some don't really like to go to competitions. Me and Matteo often do. Yeah.
Do they accept tips from you?
I don't know. Sometimes I think I talk too much about and give too much tips to people. Some really enjoy it. Some are like, yeah, listen, and then just go ahead and pump anyway. But
sister's listening in the back and smiling at us, which is very cool. And the father, Genie, serves pumps as well, right?
Yes, my dad pumps as well. He's now 50 years old and pumps still crazy good. He did, what was that, 900 square foil, 850 square foil, something like that he pumped, yeah. Pumps a small step off, yeah, he pumps same setups as me and Matteo. It's crazy.
Remarkable. And I want to know, like the question, how many foils and boards do you have in your house?
Foil boards, yeah, probably more than five boards. We have we have, at the moment, we have like 1, 2, 3, 4-5 foils screwed together with the one from our neighbors. There's still so many foils laying around. So yeah, way too much material.
I put my board just out there, screwed together, and I'm not sure if I will find it again.
And Matt, how are you finding, are you riding the same set? No, you're riding the Condor M, right? Not the Barracuda.
Yes, I have a Condor M at the moment, which is a more of a beginner foil suited to my capabilities. I tried the Barracuda L, but didn't manage to get on yet. Need some more time. But it's fun how a front wing that is called L is actually so small.
Yeah. You also mentioned competitions. So did you already sign up for some competitions next year? Or do you have something in mind? Are you going to make like, are you going to focus more on freestyling, more on sprint or something?
Yeah, like there's always going to be sprint in the competition. It's not my favorite discipline, but yeah, it's fun to compete against the other guys like Edan and Noam. They're incredible guys. I try to catch up to them. They always take first and second place in the competitions. We'll try to catch up to them now in my new foils. Maybe I have a bit more of a chance. But freestyle is always fun. Yeah, now we had the very first freestyle competition in the Swiss Foiling Tour from Grigo Müller.
Episode 1. Link here.
Yeah. I really like to freestyle, but most of the competitions are races. So I'll try. Yeah, there you just need to know how small foils you can pump and start from the dock you have there and don't fall.
which one did you use in Vingels?
The Barracuda M, one smaller than I use normal days for pumping.
And Edan, who won, he used foot straps, right? Would you be able to start his gear? Probably. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't really tried it because I find it a bit hard to start switch into the straps because he's goofy, I'm regular. No? Yeah, he always has straps on, so I didn't really try his gear. I think he has a bit smaller front wing than me. Stabilizer, I think I had a little bit smaller one. But yeah.
But there again, and that's what what's been said in the last episode with Gwen, there the weight would actually help not to start a small front wing but to get that power in.
Yeah but you see it's we all got kind of the same physique like Edan, Noam and me, so it's not really the really heavy people. I don't know, maybe because of that similarity means this physique is better, but I don't know. I also like Kilian Brown or Balz Müller, they're also very, very fast. They're very fast guys and they really have the muscles to pack on. Already lost a few races to them. They're also fast as hell.
Let's talk freestyle though. A lot of you young people, you made all similar tricks. It's like the switch stands, the lying on the board. There's the backflip, obviously, that people are trying. Is there like a limit of what can be achieved pump foiling?
No, that's isn't reached soon. Yeah. I'm all working all the time on new tricks to get, you don't know what's possible. Maybe you try something once. You fail, but you don't know if it's possible or not because maybe it was because of you. Maybe you have the wrong foil. Wrong technique. So much that can, decide if the trick is possible or not.
What's your favorite one?
I think the one sitting down, like getting, letting your back foot, front foot still stay and taking your back foot to the front. And I'm at the moment working on doing a carve even. There are some guys doing, they sit down on the foil and then they still carve it. Now with the new front wings, I'm starting to learn that. Maybe we'll get a video soon.
That is crazy. Who is your inspiration for these things? Because maybe you come up with a trick yourself, but sometimes you see someone like, oh, that's cool. And maybe I could use that in my repertoire.
Yeah, there are a few guys in Switzerland that do some crazy stuff, but often it's like surf foiler. Surf foiler you normally see just doing carves, but some, yeah, for them it's, yeah, they don't often flat water pump. But on the waves, they sometimes go on their belly or do, yeah, they do, sometimes they do crazy stuff. Then I'm like watching the video and then they do one trick like, whoa, maybe this will work in flat water. But yeah, also many flat water pumpers that do crazy tricks. Yeah, on Instagram, there's always inspiration.
Yeah, and that wasn't there that much 3-4 years ago is when you started, right?
Yeah. I didn't even realize there's people on posting stuff about pump foiling on Instagram.
There was the Cozon Foil Week a couple of weeks ago. Did you follow that? Did you?
In France,
yeah.
Yeah, watched some videos, but not that much.
But there was a race. There was no freestyle competition. Why is that?
I don't know. Many people don't really realize that there's already freestyle in pump foiling. This year was the very first freestyle competition in the Swiss Foiling Tour because, yeah, Chrigu was watching all the guys and, yeah, now he decided now there are enough tricks, enough people that can do the tricks, so there are enough competitors that can do something because it's still developing.
So that's the first Swiss champion in pump foil freestyle. Did you think that will happen or were you surprised that you actually won?
I didn't even know this competition was going to take place. I was there like, there was always kind of an expression session afterwards, but often this didn't really take place. And now it's the first time that really it was a competition. People do their run, do their tricks, yeah. But when I knew it took place, either it was going to be me, my little brother, or, yeah, maybe one of the backflip guys, Noam or Edan. I don't know. It's always up to the judge.
And there was the race in Cozon, but racing is not that much your thing.
Yeah, it's fun, but I don't really like it because it's hard to really get better in racing. Because also during competitions, sometimes you have as many tries as you want, but it's not that technical. You just need to go on there and it's already a bit decided how fast you will be. When you do a few runs, you won't get better like 5-10 seconds if you really are pushing the limit. So I find freestyle cooler because you really can push the boundaries. And with racing, it's always a bit the same. Like, I'm losing to Edan a lot, so maybe I will beat this guy. He's
maybe that's the problem, though. Maybe that's the issue. we are in Solothurn currently, and there's no lake here. There's just the river. How is that different if you're pumping here to maybe you visit some friends in Lake Biel or something? How's the community here? How's pumping on a river?
In the river, yeah, for me it got pretty normal, but other people when they get here, they in the beginning they're a bit confused because like, is it possible to pump on a river? How is it going upstream, downstream? But it isn't that much of a difference. You need to, speed is a bit different when you're switching the current. You have to be a bit careful, but yeah, the lake is very different because, yeah, a lot calmer. And yeah, often it's not in the middle of the city. Here in Solothurn, we're right in the middle of the city and you always have guys sitting on the dock and watching you, many, many people. Yeah, on a sunny day, dock is crazy crowded when there are a few pumpers, like many, 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 many people looking. And yeah, it's kind of a show sometimes.
And of course, more interesting to do freestyle in front of the people.
Exactly. Like, do you see it as a motivation?
Nah, not really. Sometimes I don't really care anymore, but there are other pumpers that don't really like being watched all the time. If I do new stuff, and fall from the foil all the time, look a bit dumb. Sometimes it's a bit annoying, but I got used to it.
That's really cool. Gael, I'm almost done with my list. Do you have anything else you want to ask Rob?
No, I think we covered everything. He told us about his family, about the essay, the first foil, and then, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, like, what's next?
Yeah, stay tuned for the new board. Well, hopefully I'll get, next year, gear 2025, hopefully be on the Indiana store for ordering. Yeah, it's going to be sick board. The old one already sold out. It was 1 hour on already. Everything's out now. Yeah, but people liked it, and the new boards I think will come out perfectly. Had other people looking at it and were totally other good foils, and they were also totally stoked about it.
We can probably see how you test it on your Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us your Insta handle?
Yeah, that's Rob on Rolls. It's because I skated before I started foiling. Now I started foiling, don't really skate anymore, but I'm still Rob on Rolls.
With an underscore between.
Yes, underscore.
Yeah, sorry, just this last question, because you mentioned skating. And I was thinking the other day, like, if you skate all the time, besides foiling on a consistent basis, do you think that it's helpful, or at some point you just need to foil as much as possible, because that's like different?
What for me really made a difference is winging, because we don't really have wind here and it's forbidden anyway. I learned winging on a skateboard first, then I took it on the wing. It really helped me. And also other tricks. There are a few tricks you can transfer. Yeah, there's like already guys trying the 360. I don't really like that one. The 360 shove it. But yeah. And yeah, you can transfer some tricks. Pretty fun. Also with surf skate, it's kind of the same feeling. Pump track. Pump track is also, you know what the pump track is?
Yeah, that's very similar.
It's where you have bumps. Yeah. And it's very, very much the same movement. And also the turns and surf skate can be pretty similar.
If you have to choose between freestyling and downwinding or wave riding, what would you choose?
I'm a flat water pumper, but if I had the choice, I wouldn't be a flat water pumper. I would go on waves all the time. It's like when I have waves, I'm always on the waves. Waves are just way too much fun. Downwinding is just, yeah, we wanted to go today, but the wind kind of had other plans. Yeah, but there's an epic week of wind coming in. So I'll hope I get some downwinders.
Then all that's left for me is tell you what the next episode's going to be.
Tell us.
All right, the next is going to be with Dominic and Andrea. They're from Foil Drive Europe, which is actually something very interesting to get into downwinding. Have you tried a foil drive before?
No.
Me neither. And we cannot do that here. Switzerland is a problem. Gael, you had some experiences with that, and we're going to talk to them, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting.
Yep. Awesome. So thank you very much for listening. We remind you that if you are watching this video, you can also listen to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcast and the other way around. And we will see you in the next one.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.